Ave Maria Radio and Renewal Ministries presents Fire on the Earth, a compelling look at the new evangelization through inspiring teachings, interviews, and testimonies.
Welcome, friends. We're going to continue today to take a look at the first readings that we've been given for daily Mass. We're walking through Romans, which is a very challenging book, but so rich, so powerful, and incredibly helpful in understanding who we are. I began Monday by just talking about the problem of identity. I mean, I'm so acutely aware, no matter where I travel, who I talk to, whatever age group, especially young, but whatever age group, is just a deep struggle because of the broad cultural struggles, political struggles, the health battle against COVID and all that's happening around it, all its politics, divisions in the church. It's a tough, tough time. And there's a lot of shaking going on. And in the middle of it, there's spiritual forces at work. There's political forces at work. There's cultural and social forces at work in such a way that it's very destabilizing for people to live through. And the Lord wants us to be able to find the place of security. And I think one of the things why the Lord permits the kind of experience that we're having to happen at different times in history, He's letting human beings have what they insist on wanting. That's part of it. But on the other hand, He allows it to happen because it reveals the deeper issues in us. Where do I find my identity and my security? Because when things start to shake and things I've invested myself in and my identity is really invested in, when those things start to shake, then I shake. That's kind of a definition of an idol. When I'm invested in something which is less than myself, because literally everything in this world, on this earth, as beautiful, as wonderful it is, and as good as it is not the crown of this world. The human person, despite what a lot of people want to say today, but the human person creating the image of God is the most valuable thing, objectively speaking, on the planet. But when we lose sight of who we are, and this week we've been talking about really dimensions of a Christian anthropology, dimensions of a Christian understanding of the actual human condition, what we're living in, the source of our struggles and difficulties, where our identities come from. That's part of what Paul's touching on, is the fundamental human struggles, its roots, its sources. And because we are unstable, we somehow alienated even to our own selves, we're alienated from God, we want to grab onto things that we think and the world tells us are going to give us security, identity, a place, and elevate us above other people, you know, ensure and secure our place as being different and special, all those kinds of things. So the theme may be running through this whole week from my perspective, and I think it would be just good for us to lay hold of, friends, just to just take it in, is that we can't find a secure identity in what we do, what we possess physically, where we live, the circle of friends we have, how big our bank account is. None of that will give us the fundamental human security that the Lord wants to bring us into. So He could say things to His disciples like that can sound crazy to us. He said to the disciples in the Last Supper discourse, and He's about to be crucified, and they've got a wonderful thing in front of them as well in terms of receiving new life, but they're also going to be heading toward total rejection by society and martyrdom and the rest. And He says to them, in this world you will have tribulations, but be of good cheer. I've overcome the world. Be of good cheer? Like, that sounds trite, but it's not. It's wisdom. Because I've overcome this fallen world. I've overcome this dominion that we've been talking about this week, this reign of the power of sin and death, the cause of all this destabilization and confusion. And I've overcome your final enemy, death itself, which casts its shadow over all of this, this disordered energy. Paul said, you know, death comes through sin, and sin reigns in death, and there's a reigning of these powers. They're real. And no matter how much people ignore them, try to distract ourselves from them, poo-poo them as being fanciful or not worth paying attention to, these things are real. These realities, they're powers at work on us. Jesus came to destroy those powers. and to make it possible for us to come out of that darkness into light. So here Paul's touching on it again. So he's saying, sin then must not reign over your mortal bodies so that you obey their desires. Adam and Eve, Paul reminded us, were tempted. One man's sin led to the fall, and one man's sin led to death, and that same dominion of sin and death was passed on to all his progeny. So human beings are born with original sin, an original separation from God, you know, essentially stand in need of salvation, literally being saved. What does that mean? To be brought out of this dominion that's going to dominate not only in a biological death and enslavement to sin in this world, but it's going to lead to eternal separation from God. Jesus came to deal with that precise problem. So he's saying here, he's developing the foundation that he had laid out before, because all of us are in this condition. All of us are in this battle. He said, sin must not reign over your mortal bodies so that you obey their desires. The desires of body and mind, when under the dominion of the power of sin and death, are very, very powerful and lead human beings to do all kinds of things, the kind of things we're seeing in our streets, the kind of things we're seeing. I mean, there's so many things that can point to it. I think it was, I don't know, Chesterton or somebody who said, the doctrine of original sin is the only one of the doctrines that's literally confirmed every day when you pick up the newspaper. And you see what human beings have gotten themselves into again and again and again and again. And so he's saying you have human desires and they've been subject to the disordered energy of sin and death, a power that's confusing, that leads human beings to want to be God, that leads human beings to say yes to lust, to say no to the commandments, to say yes to what I want, to say no to God's will, to say yes to my will. Paul goes on, he says, and do not present the parts of your bodies to sin as weapons of wickedness. This is something that's happening all over the place. It's celebrated in our culture today. Human beings, in all kinds of very confusing ways, are in bondage to sin. We're calling it freedom. We're presenting our bodies, misusing our bodies. We're saying yes to habit patterns of sin in the use of our bodies, in all the strange ways, in all the perverted ways. Just think of all the ways in which human beings are celebrating strange and even dangerous and confusing ways of exercising their sexual powers, their bodies. They become weapons of wickedness. And you see the results of them in various kinds of sicknesses and diseases and abortion and the rest. And this is a concrete example of what Paul is talking about. He said, but present yourselves to God as raised from the dead to life. But wait a minute, how did I get raised from the dead? Well, how did that happen? Well, what happened is the dying and the rising happens in baptism. That person, that human being that was born in a state of alienation from God, in a state of original sin, is in baptism united to Christ. And united to Christ in this way, to the cross of Jesus Christ, to the blood of Jesus Christ, to that one act of love that saves us, his yes in obedience of total surrender, offering his love in his whole heart to the Father. That act of love and the shedding of blood that came from that act of love is the means by which, is the power through which we are saved. Because the blood of Jesus, the precious blood of Jesus, in the scriptures, the Old Testament said there's no forgiveness of sin without the shedding of blood, and the blood of goats and calves and lambs is not enough. It only points to the pure, holy blood of the Son of God that was shed for us, and that which alone can wash away the dominion of sin in our lives. And in that same act of baptism, what alienates us from God, what separates us from God, is removed the powers that dominate are removed, and what's given is the power of the kingdom, is the very life of God. The Holy Spirit is given to us, and we become a new creation. And Jesus, as John the Apostle said, he gave us power. There was a power that was over us, at work in us, through the world, the flesh, and the devil, through sin and death. But there was a greater power, the power of God's love, the power of the love of Jesus Christ, the new Adam, that broke the power, destroyed it, made a public show of it. And that power given to us in the Spirit, the anointing Jesus had, he's the Christ, he is the anointing of the Spirit, the life of God, and that Spirit gets transferred to us. So you see, Christianity is a transfer of life. It's a transfusion of divine life. Scriptures promise we'd get a new heart, a heart that would love God. That's the heart of Jesus. He's given us his heart through the Spirit. It's the power of the Spirit's at work in us. So Paul goes on to say, there's a new power in you. You've been brought from death to life. There's something working in you that's given you power over this reign of sin and death and the temptations of the flesh to offer our bodies to sin. He said, for sin is not to have any power over you, since you are not under the law, but you're under grace. Under the law, one level means this, the law which God created, that gave us, Ten Commandments and the laws of God, which are meant for good, end up condemning us because they give us the boundaries of the pathway to walk in the footsteps of God, the boundaries that a human being is made to live within for his own good, but also for the glory of God. And what the law shows us ultimately is it shines a light on us and says, this is how you're meant to live, but this is not how you live. You don't love God with all your heart, soul, mind, and strength and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. We need a savior. We can't solve this problem. And so we're under not the law, which condemns us, and we were accursed really under the law because we fail dramatically. But grace is here to help us fulfill the law. Jesus fulfilled the law. He filled the law full. How? By loving God with all his heart, soul, mind, and strength, and loving his neighbor as himself, and he never sinned, and he gave a perfect offering of his life to God. His body was a perfect offering of love to God. And so we're united to that perfect offering. Jesus comes to us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only son, and he comes in love to bring you out of your state of alienation under the dominion of sin and death, to bring you out from under the law, which only condemns you as guilty of failing to uphold the law. Instead, he comes with grace and mercy. With grace and mercy, his love. And that mercy is to forgive sinners. He sent the apostles out to testify to his dying and rising and to forgive sins and to baptize in his name. That's the fundamental core of the mission of the church. That's it. Because it's people who've been brought into that reality. We want to bring everybody we can into this reality. There's nothing really more important than the mission of the church on the planet. There just isn't. Lord, we ask you to help us live this new life. Help us say yes to what you've done and walk in it faithfully for your glory. God bless you, friends.
Each program of Fire on the Earth with Peter Herbeck can be downloaded at AveMariaRadio.net and RenewalMinistries.net. Fire on the Earth is a production of Ave Maria Radio.
Friends, I'd like to offer you my new booklet, Fear God and Give Him Glory. The scripture says the fear of God is a fountain of life. It's the beginning of wisdom. It's the source of delight and a much-needed grace for our time. For a free copy of Fear God and Give Him Glory, call 1-800-282-4789. That's 1-800-282-4789. Or go to renewalministries.net/FOE or subscribe to our podcast.